Chapter 9. I advise you not. I say by no means. Apostrophe while, from Mr. Gradrand, he heard in his much lower tone the words, but even as an example to Louis, of what this pursuit which has been the subject of a vulgar curiosity, leads to and ends in. Think of it, Bounderby, in that point of view. Apostrophe, meanwhile, the various members of Sleary's company gradually gathered together from the upper regions, where they were quartered, and, from standing about, talking in low voices to one another, and to Mr. Childers, gradually insinuated themselves and him into the room. There were two or three handsome young women among them, with their two or three husbands, and their two or three mothers, and their eight or nine little children, who did the fairy business when required. The father of one of the families was in the habit of balancing the father of another of the families on the top of a great pole. The father of a third family often made a pyramid of both those fathers, with Master Kidderminster for the apex, and himself for the base. All the fathers could dance upon rolling casks, stand upon bottles, catch knives and balls, twirl hand basins, ride upon anything, jump over everything, and stick at nothing. All the mothers could, and did, dance, upon the slack wire and the tight rope, and perform rapid acts on bare-back steeds. None of them were at all particular in respect of showing their legs, and one of them, alone in a Greek chariot, drove six in hand into every town they came to. They all assumed to be mighty rakish and knowing, they were not very tidy in their private dresses, they were not at all orderly in their domestic arrangements, and the combined literature of the whole company would have produced but a poor letter on any subject. Yet there was a remarkable gentleness and childishness about these people, a special inaptitude for any kind of sharp practice, and an untiring readiness to help and pity one another, deserving often of as much respect, and always of as much generous construction, as the everyday virtues of any class of people in the world. Last of all appeared Mr. Sleary, a stout man as already mentioned, with one fixed eye and one loose eye, a voice, if it can be called so, like the efforts of a broken old pair of bellows, a flabby surface, and a muddled head which was never sober and never drunk. Squire. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Sleary, who was troubled with asthma, and whose breath came far too thick and heavy for the letter S, your servant. Thithith, a bad piece of business, thithith. You've heard of my clown and his dog being supposed to have morris? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he addressed Mr. Gradrand, who answered yes. Apostrophe, well, squire, apostrophe, he returned, taking off his hat, and rubbing the lining with his pocket handkerchief, which he kept in sight for the purpose. Is it your intention to do anything for the poor girl, squire? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I shall have something to propose to her when she comes back, apostrophe, said Mr. Gradrand. Glad to hear it, squire. Not that I want to get rid of the child, any more than I want to stand in her way. I'm willing to take her prentice, though at her age it's late. My voice is a little husky, squire, and not easy heard by the mass don't know me. But if you'd been chilled and heated, heated, and chilled, chilled, and heated in the ring when you was young, as often as I have been, your voice wouldn't have lasted out, squire, no more than mine. Apostrophe, I dare say not, apostrophe, said Mr. Gradrand. What's all it be, squire, while you wait? Shall it be fairy? Give it a name, squire. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Sleary, with hospitable ease. Nothing for me, I thank you, apostrophe, said Mr. Gradrand. Don't say nothing, squire. What doth your friend say? If you haven't took your feed yet, have a glass of bitters. Apostrophe, here is daughter Josephine, a pretty fair-haired girl of 18, who had been tied on a horse at 2 years old, and had made a will at 12, which she always carried about with her, expressive of her dying desire to be drawn to the grave by the two peopled ponies, cried, Father, hush! She has come back. Apostrophe then came Sissy Jupe, running into the room as she had run out of it. And when she saw them all assembled, and saw their looks, and saw no father there, she broke into a most deplorable cry, and took refuge on the bosom of the most accomplished tightrope lady herself in the family way, who knelt down on the floor to nurse her, and to weep over her. "If an internal fame, upon my foul if," apostrophe said Sleary. "Oh my dear father, my good kind father, where are you gone? You are gone to try to do me some good, I know. You are gone away for my sake, I am sure. And how miserable and helpless you will be without me, poor, poor father, until you come back." Apostrophe, apostrophe, it was so pathetic to hear her saying many things of this kind, with her face turned upward, and her arms stretched out, as if she were trying to stop his departing shadow and embrace it, that no one spoke a word until Mr. Bounderby, growing impatient, took the case in hand. "Now, good people all," apostrophe said he, "this is wanton waste of time. Let the girl understand the fact. Let her take it from me, if you like, who have been run away from, myself. Here, what's your name? Your father has absconded, deserted you, and you mustn't expect to see him again, as long as you live." Apostrophe, they cared so little for plain fact, these people, and were in that advanced state of degeneracy on the subject, that instead of being impressed by the speaker's strong common sense, they took it in extraordinary dudgeon. The men muttered shame. Apostrophe and the women brute. Apostrophe, apostrophe and Sleary, in some haste, communicated the following hint, apart to Mr. Bounderby. "I tell you what, squire, to speak plain to you, my opinion is, that you had better cut it short, and drop it. They're a very good natured people, my people, but they're accustomed to be quick in their movements. And if you don't act upon my advice, I'm damned if I don't believe they'll piss you out, oh winder." Apostrophe, Mr. Bounderby being restrained by this mild suggestion, Mr. Gradgrind found an opening for his eminently practical exposition of the subject. "It is of no moment," apostrophe said he, "whether this person is to be expected back at any time, or the contrary. He is gone away, and there is no present expectation of his return. That, I believe, is agreed on all hands." Apostrophe, that's agreed, squire. Stick to that. Apostrophe from Sleary. "Well then, I, who came here to inform the father of the poor girl, Jupe, that she could not be received at the school any more, in consequence of there being practical objections, into which I need not enter, to the reception there of the children of persons so employed, am prepared in these altered circumstances to make a proposal. I am willing to take charge of you, Jupe, and to educate you, and provide for you. The only condition, over and above your good behavior, I make is, that you decide now, at once, whether to accompany me or remain here. Also, that if you accompany me now, it is understood, that you communicate no more with any of your friends who are here present. These observations comprise the whole of the case." Apostrophe, at the same time, apostrophe said Sleary, "I must put in my word, squire, so that both sides of the banner may be equally seen. If you like, Cecilia, to be prenticed, you know the matter of the work, and you know your companions. Emma Gordon, in woe lap your lying at present, would be a mother to you, and Jocelyn would be a sister to you. I don't pretend to be of the angel breed myself, and I don't say, but what, when you miss a dear tip, you'd find me cut up rough, and swear an oath or two at you. But what I say, squire, is, that good-tempered or bad-tempered, I never did a whore they injury yet, no more than swearing at them went, and that I don't expect I shall begin author with at my time of life, with a writer. I never was much of a cackler, squire, and I have said my say." Apostrophe, the latter part of this speech, was addressed to Mr. Gradgrind, who received it with a grave inclination of his head, and then remarked, "D The only observation I will make to you, Jupe, in the way of influencing your decision, is that it is highly desirable to have a sound practical education, and that even your father himself, from what I understand, appears, on your behalf, to have known and felt that much. Apostrophe, the last words had a visible effect upon her. She stopped in her wild crying, a little detached herself from Emma Gordon, and turned her face full upon her patron. The whole company perceived the force of the change, and drew a long breath together, that plainly said, she will go. Apostrophe, apostrophe, be sure you know your own mind, Jupe, apostrophe, Mr. Gradgrin cautioned her, I say no more. Be sure you know your own mind. Apostrophe, when father comes back, apostrophe, cried the girl, bursting into tears again after a minute's silence, how will he ever find me, if I go away? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you may be quite at ease, apostrophe, said Mr. Gradgrind, calmly, he worked out the whole matter like a sum. You may be quite at ease, Jupe, on that score. In such a case, your father, I apprehend, must find out Mr. Apostrophe, Fleary. That's my name, Squire. Not ashamed of it. Known all over England, and I'll with pay this way. Apostrophe, must find out Mr. Sleary, who would then let him know where you went. I should have no power of keeping you against his wish, and he would have no difficulty, at any time, in finding Mr. Thomas Gradgrind of Coketown. I am well known. Apostrophe, well known, apostrophe, assented Mr. Sleary, rolling his loose eye. You're one of the sort, squire, that keeps a precise sight of money out of the house. But never mind that at present. Apostrophe, there was another silence, and then she exclaimed, sobbing with her hands before her face, oh, give me my clothes, and let me go away, before I break my heart. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the women sadly bestirred themselves to get the clothes together. It was soon done, for they were not many, and to pack them in a basket which had often traveled with them. Sissy sat all the time upon the ground, still sobbing, and covering her eyes. Mr. Gradgrind and his friend Bounderby stood near the door, ready to take her away. Mr. Sleary stood in the middle of the room, with the male members of the company about him, exactly as he would have stood in the center of the ring during his daughter Josephine's performance. He wanted nothing but his whip. The basket packed in silence, they brought her bonnet to her, and smoothed her disordered hair, and put it on. Then they pressed about her, and bent over her in very natural attitudes, kissing, and embracing her. And brought the children, to take leave of her, and were a tender-hearted, simple foolish set of women altogether. Now, Jupe, apostrophe, said Mr. Gradgrind. If you are quite determined, come. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but she had to take her farewell of the male part of the company yet, and every one of them had to unfold his arms, for they all assumed the professional attitude, when they found themselves near Sleary, and give her a parting kiss. Master Kidderminster accepted, in whose young nature there was an original flavor of the misanthrope, who was also known to have harbored matrimonial views, and who moodily withdrew. Mr. Sleary was reserved until the last. Opening his arms wide, he took her by both her hands, and would have sprung her up and down, after the riding master manner of congratulating young ladies on their dismounting from a rapid act. But there was no rebound in Sissy, and she only stood before him crying. Goodbye, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sleary. You will make your fortune, I hope, and none of our poor folks will ever trouble you, I'll pound it. I with your father, hadn't taken his dog with him, it's a ill convenience, to have the dog out of the bilth. But on second thought, he wouldn't have performed without his master, so it's as broad as this long. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with, that he regarded her attentively with his fixed eye, surveyed his company with his loose one, kissed her, shook his head, and handed her to Mr. Gradgrind, as to a horse. There he is, Esquire, apostrophe he said, sweeping her with a professional glance, as if she were being adjusted in her seat, until do you Judith to. Goodbye, Cecilia. Apostrophe, goodbye, Cecilia. Apostrophe, goodbye, Sissy. Apostrophe, God bless you, dear. In a variety of voices from all the room. But the writing master I had observed the bottle of the nine oils in her bosom, and he now interposed with leave the bottle, my dear, it's large to carry, it will be of no use to you now. Give it to me. Apostrophe, no, no. Apostrophe, she said, in another burst of tears. Oh, no. Pray let me keep it for father till he comes back. He will want it when he comes back. He had never thought of going away when he sent me for it. I must keep it for him, if you please. Apostrophe, so be it, my dear. You see how it is, Squire. Farewell, Cecilia. My last words to you is this. Stick to the terms of your engagement, be obedient to the squire, and forget us. But if, when you're grown up and married and well off, you come upon any horrid writing ever, don't be hard upon it, don't be cross with it, give it a best yak if you can, and think you might do worse. People must be amused, squire, somehow, apostrophe continued sleary, rendered more pursy than ever, by so much talking. They can't be always a working, nor yet they can't be always a learning. Make the best of us, not the worst. I've got my living out of the horrid writing all my life, I know, but I consider that I lay down the philosophy of the subject when I say to you, Squire, make the best of us, not the worst. Apostrophe, this leery philosophy was propounded as they went downstairs, and the fixed eye of philosophy and its rolling eye, too soon lost the three figures, and the basket in the darkness of the street. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.